The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Currently in the ring, weighing in at a lean 285 pounds from very known parts, my boy and yours, Smooth.
You are now tuned in and listening to the Mind of Smoothie Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
This is the Mind of Smoothie Podcast. What is up, everyone? It is your boy, Smoothie, but of course, and we are here live, kicking it, bringing you the first official episode of the Mind of Smoothie Podcast. Before we dive into today's topic, before we get into our conversation here, I just want to take a few moments to thank each and every one of you good people out there, you kind people out there who took a chance, listened to the introduction episode, shared my post on social media, liked my post, commented, gave me a good word of encouragement. I say thank you. It's because of that I'm moving forward and getting this next episode out here to you all. I had stated previously that this podcast has been like 2 years in the making, even more. I could go back if I look at the day when I uploaded that video, when I got myself my microphone and I got myself my little mixer kit thing. And when I did that YouTube video, I had every intention of doing a podcast. Maybe it wasn't a solo podcast. Maybe it wasn't my own podcast, but podcasting with others, podcasting with my buddies, Brandon and Scott, and all the good people at Howdy Inc. And that happened. We did some podcasts. We put it down. But here we are with my own solo podcast. And I say thank you. As with anything that's new and extremely new and exciting, bear with me in the first couple episodes. Maybe things aren't going to go as smooth. You maybe hear some ums and ahs and likes. But I'm a work in progress, and this show is a work in progress. I want to deliver to you, though, the best show that I can. And the only way that is going to happen is by being consistent each and every week with it. And feedback from you, the wonderful audience, let me know your thoughts. What worked, what didn't work, and together we can make this a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now that we got the formalities out of the way, the thank yous, the recognitions, and what have you, we're about to dive right now into this week's topic. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking wrestling. That's right, wrestling. Last week, I was introduced to NWA Power. It's a YouTube series, the resurrection, if you will, of the National Wrestling Alliance. It's their weekly TV program, and it's filmed all in the studio. And I got to say, I fell in love with not only the NWA, but wrestling. The fire has been reignited in me. And I guess that's the whole premise of me doing this episode, because we're going to talk about growing up, some of my memories of early wrestling memories, and how I first got into and fell in love with wrestling, as many kids do. And then we're also going to just talk about the current stuff and maybe some video game references in there. Not video game references, but talk about some wrestling video games, two in particular. So it's going to be a great show. But yes, wrestling. Now, there's plenty of podcasts, there's plenty of websites, plenty of media outlets out there where you can get a good history of wrestling, professional wrestling, if you will. Heck, just go out and Google professional wrestling and you can find all that you need, I'm sure. But it wouldn't be right to just jump right into my earliest wrestling memories if I didn't give some context or didn't give a little bit of background. Maybe there are some people who, like myself, have never dug really deep into the rich history of wrestling. And I got to be honest, doing the research for this show and just looking up NWA, I learned so much in a week's time than I ever knew or ever thought about when I was growing up. And of course, growing up, I really think to say I didn't care about the history, that it's a lie, but it was never, it was just about the present moment and what was hot at the moment. So a little bit of wrestling history. Specifically, we're going to start back in 1948 when the National Wrestling Alliance was founded. Now, the premise of the National Wrestling Alliance was just like it sounds. So it was an alliance. So all these different territories and promotions across the United States and Canada fell under the NWA was the board or the governing body of all these things. So there was one title, the World Heavyweight Champion title, the 10 pounds of gold, if you will, where the people from this belt would travel throughout the different promotions and such. And I did not know that up until this point. I just had thought of NWA as being another promotion like WWF, or WWE, sorry, where it was so much more than it. This is really the crux of it. This is where wrestling began, and this is how it started. Because then we move ahead quite a few years, about 15 to be exact, if I'm doing my math right. We had the Capital Wrestling Corporation, which was run by none other than Vince McMahon. And they decided to split off. Like I said, you can go do the research and see what happened there, why the split happened. But this is just a broad view. So they split off and formed the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. And then in 1971, they rejoined the NWA. So they were still falling under that body. That same belt would have been in control of everything. Or that would have been, you know, they would fight for the one belt. And then in 1979, they completely withdrew, and the WWF / WWE as we know it today was formed. And it was from this point in time that wrestling really took off, at least in the national light. So the WWF went national, much like NWA, but they were one brand, and the brand was huge in the 80s. And that is where we're going to slide into my memories of it. And I said, go, if you're not in the least bit in the know of any wrestling history, I suggest you just go start there, Google NWA wrestling, and just read the wiki article. It gives a good breakdown of everything. But we're moving right now into the memories. So here's Young Smoothie back in the 80s, catching his local cable channel, brushing up on some Spectrum Wrestling. Now, what the Spectrum is, that was the sports complex, sports venue in Philadelphia where the Philadelphia Flyers and the Philadelphia 76ers played, and also concerts and everything. And they would hold weekly shows, just house shows, nothing spectacular, nothing of Raw caliber or anything like that. for an hour, I guess. I forget exactly the time frame. And they would just have matches. You'd see the big names like the Hulk Hogan's and the Bushwhackers at the time fighting against nobodies. At least it was not like one name versus another name that you recognize. So you'd have some smaller guys, maybe from local promotions, smaller promotions in the surrounding Philadelphia area. Because I remember the one match I distinctly remember was King Harley Race, who was very significant in the early NWA days and still is a legend in not only wrestling, but the NWA as well. And I just remember that stuck with me, but very basic, very entertaining. So it was enough to pull me in and to watch, and I would go out and buy the WWF magazines. I remember my very first issue that I went out and bought, well, my parents bought, my mom, my grandma maybe bought me, was the August 1989 issue with The Rockers, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels on there. So that stuck in my head. And then skip ahead to, you know, growing up a little bit more, and we had the WWF Superstars program that was syndicated. It was locally on our Fox channel before it was Fox, channel 29 to be exact, in the Philadelphia area. I believe, maybe I'm wrong on that. Don't quote me, but I think it was on there. And, man, getting together with my buddies, and despite the disclaimer that they put before, you know, this is highly trained professional athletes, do not attempt to do any of this at home. What do you do when you're a kid? You do the exact opposite of what it's telling you, and you know, sit around and put figure four leg locks on your friends. My brothers would always do that, put me in half Nelsons, sleeper holds, because I was the youngest of seven. But it was just fun. It was just, it was captivating. And when you think about what makes it so captivating, when you're a child, when you're young like that, you know, you're closest things, like my favorite cartoon, it was He-Man. So here you have these larger-than-life personalities and larger-than-life human beings the size of this cartoon He-Man pulling off these awesome moves and everything. And it's, you see a good and an evil side, a face and a heel. You see villains personified. You see heroes personified, knowing that you could potentially go to one of these shows. You could potentially meet these people. They were real people, but wow, what people they were, what things they could accomplish. So it was, you know, on. It's just, that's one of those childhood things that you naturally gravitate to. I want to say, and this is a big assumption, but even newer generations, anybody growing up, I think it's quite natural to gravitate towards wrestling and to find a love for, because it's something that's shared. Usually maybe comes down, like I could share with my son, or fathers or mothers even share with their children memories they had, and going to maybe their first show and taking their kids to the show. So many memories and lasting memories are made during these times. And one last memory of that I vividly remember, one of my favorite memories. I remember other matches and such growing up and early pay-per-views. I remember not being able to pay the $50 for a pay-per-view, but I knew I had friends who were doing it, and they would record it, so I'd go watch it the next day. So I've seen many early pay-per-views, early SummerSlams, early Royal Rumbles and everything, but one of my very favorite moments of Superstars wrestling specifically was, I remember being down my friend's house Saturday morning, and the Undertaker had just come onto the scene, I think fairly recently. I forget how long he'd been in the company with the WWF at this point, but this was April 13th, 1991, and his manager at the time was Paul Bearer, and they did a little skit, I guess you would call it, called The Funeral Parlor, where he would come out, where Paul Bearer would come out, and The Undertaker, and they'd interview, have people on the show, kind of like a mini talk show. And this particular episode, or this edition, was just Paul Bearer calling out the Ultimate Warrior. And The Ultimate Warrior was one of our other favorite wrestlers at the time. And he unveils this coffin that was made specifically for the Ultimate Warrior. And I'll never forget, I rewatched just the other day the clip from it. And it took me right back to that time. And I did forget that the announcing crew at that time, the commentators were Macho Man Randy Savage, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Vince McMahon. And just to hear their commentary as well, I'd hear Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior in my career. This is, you know, hearing that, it was fantastic to hear his voice again. But anyway, enough about the Macho Man. We're focusing on the Ultimate Warrior and Undertaker. So anyway, meanwhile, back in the funeral parlor, you have the Ultimate Warrior confronting Paulie Bearer, and then unbeknownst to him, out from one of the prop coffins comes the Undertaker, and the Undertaker forces the Ultimate Warrior into the casket, and Paulie Bearer seals it up, makes it airtight, and then the world waits to see the fate of the Ultimate Warrior. And I mean, that is just the thing that gets you on the edge of your seat when you're that age. And just, again, when I was listening to it or watching it, the clip the other night, I couldn't believe how, you know, the Macho Man starts getting concerned. He's like, well, that's enough, brother. And Rowdy Piper, like, you got to get him out of there. And people from the back come in with drills and stuff. Just over dramatic. I do want to see if I can find out how they pulled that off, like a behind the scenes thing. I did stumble across a picture that was in the back, and Vince McMahon was laying in the coffin. So before, I guess, they brought it out, and, you know, a picture of Paul Bearer before he's all done up like Paul Bearer. So I'd like to see how they pulled off having the Undertaker sealed in there. But it's just memories like that. And there are so many more, but that's just the stuff that really hooks you in. It's this whole other world with these real people and these real characters, superheroes, if you will, that you can make the connection with. So wrestling was a big part of that. And that's one memory. That's one of my favorite early wrestling memories right there. And aside from just the TV programs and the different pay-per-views that were going on with wrestling, the toy market was blowing up. Again, I'm not going to go into the history of all the different types of toys. I do recommend checking out The Toys That Made Us, Season 3 on Netflix, where they do talk about the wrestling figures and the different companies and the different license acquirers and everything. That's really interesting to see that piece as well. So there were all kinds of toys and video games. And one of the standout video games to me of that time was WrestleFest Arcade. And that was released in 1991 as well. And I remember going to the local miniature golf course, Putt-Putt, and they did have this game in there. And it was one of the most fun wrestling games because it's very cartoony and very over the top. But it was just fun because you're playing with these characters that you see on TV, and they're doing larger than life stunts in real life, and then you can do even larger than life stunts and moves in an overtop way in this game. And some of the superstars that were in this game were Ultimate Warrior, Million Dollar Man, Big Boss Man. You had Road Warriors or Legion of Doom at that time when they came over to the WWF. Jake the Snake, Sergeant Slaughter, Demolition Smash, Demolition Crush. Did I say Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior? You know, all your standards there. And there was also another arcade game, and I can't think of which one it was that was in the arcade around that time, but had, I think it had the Undertaker and stuff in it too. Similar type gameplay, but WrestleFest was the one that got the best reviews and was the one to play at the time. And there's a reason for me telling you about this arcade game from 1991, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We're just going to progress through, again, some more story time, wrestling story time with your boy Smoothie. So at this time now, though, as with anything, as you get older, you know, my He-Man started to be put away, my Ninja Turtles, when I'm playing with them, you know, became not cool, and they start to collect dust, you know, kind of like Toy Story, picture that. They're just in the toy box all alone. But at the same time, it was the same thing with wrestling. It kind of got put away. It kind of lost interest in me because it was so fake, and I think there was a point in time where it wasn't cool to like wrestling. Maybe that's not true, but it seemed like one of those things that your friends stopped watching it, and it just wasn't the same, and it didn't have the same mystique to it. So, you know, here and there you flip it on, of course, but you just kind of grow out of it, as with everything. But as with everything that you do grow out of, there always comes a time where you come back to it again at a different stage in life, a different point in time. And for me, that time was, now we're moving ahead now. I'm in college, and well, prior to going to college, I will say, I happened to be flipping through the TV once again, and, you know, Raw has already been out now. I watched Raw when that premiered and all the Monday night shows when they first started airing, and then I fell out of love with wrestling, if you will. But skip ahead to 1996. I remember just flipping through and stopping on USA Network and seeing wrestling, and there was one standout character to me, and his name was none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And my friends will tell you, or people I know, the good folks over at Howdy Inc. will tell you, Stone Cold is my dude. Even when he wasn't wrestling, they would be doing like pools and everything, or brackets for different pay-per-views and whatever, and I'd always say, I'm taking Stone Cold, even though he wasn't wrestling at the time. But he was able to single-handedly bring me back in, and that time when I came in was when the Attitude Era was ushered upon us, and it was a resurgence of the wrestling craze, not only for me, and I'm sure many other people, but it was exactly what it said. It was wrestling with an attitude. You see characters like Stone Cold drinking beers and, you know, cussing a little bit and getting censored and bringing a beer truck. You have DX, you know, having two words for us. You have The Rock, you know, the people's champion, giving the people's eyebrow, dropping the people's elbow. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment, right? And it was just a complete resurgence, because now at this time I'm past high school, I'm in college and more mature. Now my buddies are even back into it. We're getting beers and sitting down on a Monday night watching Raw after work. We're sitting down on Thursday night watching SmackDown, because that's how it was. And then we rounded it all off with Sunday Night Heat, and it was just a good period of time, and I was into it for a majority of the Attitude Era. But then again, it goes in cycles, and I just, at that point, we had, no longer was there a WCW, because they were competitors, because that was all part of the Attitude Era as well, the Monday Night Wars. It was something you looked forward to. You wanted to see what Company One did to Company Two, or how they tried to ruin their gimmick or their spiel, say they're not really live, they're taping. And it was just amazing, and it was an amazing time in wrestling, and probably my favorite era right there, the Attitude Era. And I know I'm not alone in saying that, but after a point in time, it became rote, it became boring and mundane, the same old same, and there really wasn't much to differentiate it from anything. They bought out WCW. It was only one company. It was only the WWE. They were the leaders in sports entertainment, and they did a good job with it. But with most things, you need, I think, competition. And they were competing with themselves. They were separating a Raw roster and a SmackDown roster. And it just got to be too much and just not enough to follow. And then Stone Cold got hurt. And then wrestlers that I loved and always looked forward to watching, they were in and out. They weren't consistent. The Rock, becoming more involved with movies, and Stone Cold, like I said, getting hurt, and it just wasn't the same for me. So then it went dormant again until we come full circle, and probably the meat and potatoes right now, the podcast, is when I was introduced to NWA last week. Now, prior to that, I'd started watching AEW, which came out because I heard there was going to be competition once again for WWE, and that piqued my interest, but I never stuck with it. But I appreciated it. The episodes I watched AEW, I appreciated it. But again, it was whatever. It was what it was. It wasn't a priority or something that I wanted to really watch or spend time with. But then I get introduced to this NWA again, and I went through. They have had 15 episodes up to that point. Now, at the time of recording, they've had their 16th episode, and they've had another pay-per-view, which I've watched both. But I was hooked in. It was very small scale. It was all done in a studio, which was the case, I guess, back in the day for early NWA, WCW. And you had this cast of characters that you could instantly connect with, and it wasn't over story driven. It was very, it seemed natural, it seemed to flow more, and it seemed very classy, and I was just hooked, and that's it literally pulled me back in. So I was watching, I've been watching AEW again. I sort of made my way back to WWE because it doesn't seem to captivate me, but I didn't even realize how many other promotions there were. I had known of TNA back when I first started, the first attempt anyway that I realized or recognized as being competition, which it didn't do well back in 2003 or 4, I think it was, but now there's Impact Wrestling, which is that Ring of Honor. There's so much other wrestling out there, and it's overwhelming, and I just want to take it all in, and that is where we're at now, and that is why this sudden need to share about my wrestling memories and just wrestling in general, and I guess in a silly way to plug NWA. And if you remember earlier when I was talking about the game WrestleFest, while watching an episode of NWA Power, they had an advertisement for a game called Retromania, which is the same company, or I guess the game is built, the company that owns RetroFest is the company that owns the license to the game, or the I guess the program itself, and they are releasing a new game that's going to mimic that of WrestleFest for all the new consoles, and a big part of it is going to be NWA. So you have, it's great because I'm going to have these NWA characters or wrestlers that I'm starting to really get into are going to be in this game. And if it's successful enough, which again, a plug for this, if you're a wrestling fan at all listening to this and you game, check out this game. I want this to be successful. I want to see these. They mentioned download packs of different characters, so maybe you'll get more of the NWA roster. Maybe they'll, who knows, get some AEW license rights. Probably, I don't know if they would go WWE at this point, but I'm looking forward to that. So, and that's where we're at now, and we're back full circle. So from very early on in my childhood, not early on, but in my younger years up until now, it's like it's come full circle. And to me, NWA has reignited my interest in wrestling, but it's also given me that same sentimental feel and that same excitement that I had back when I was a kid. Even though I didn't watch NWA, WCW all that much growing up, and I was a WWE, WWF person, this just has really blown my mind, and I'm thankful that I was introduced to NWA. So that's it. Really, that was Story Time with Smoothie, the Story Time with Smoothie podcast on wrestling. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed taking a trip down memory lane with me. And if you've gotten this far in the episode, why don't you go ahead and hit up my social medias Actually, why don't you just tweet at me at my Twitter account, which is at @INC_smoothie, and let me know what wrestling promotion you grew up with and were into. Have you always been a wrestling person? Have you always wanted to know the history and know all about the different promotions? Or were you strictly maybe a WWF guy like me? And where are you now? Are you still into WWE? Are you still all about all wrestling? AEW, is that your thing? I'd love to hear definitely from my NWA fans. I apologize for that noise. And that's going to do it for this episode. I want to, again, thank you for tuning in and checking this out. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcast and give it a rating and leave me a review. I'm very open to constructive criticism, because, again, I want to do better for you. I was trying to be conscious of my ums and likes. May or may not have happened, but, again, it's a work in progress, and I want to grow with you, and I want you all to grow alongside of me. And stay tuned for next week's episode. We're going back to the vault again. It's going to be about a small little toy line, maybe even micro, if you will. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Mind Smoothie Podcast. I want you all to just have a great rest of your day. Take care, and we will talk to you soon. See ya. Beep, 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 beep